Thank you, ensemble. Open your Bibles tonight to 1 Chronicles chapter 7. 1 Chronicles chapter 7. My, what a joy it is to see you. I don't feel like I'm on as I ought to be on. Raise me, that's a little too much. I didn't want to hear as much as I thought I did. Okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 7. Stand, if you will, out of love and respect for God's word as we begin to read in verse number 10. We'll read only two verses. The Bible says in verse number 10, the sons of Jediel, Bilhan, And the sons of Bilhan, Jeush, and Benjamin, and Ehud, and Chineanah, and Zethan, and Tarshish, and Ahishahar. Now, verse 11 is what I want to emphasize. I had to go through all of that to get to verse 11. All these, the sons of Jediel, by the heads of their father, mighty men of valor, were 17,200 soldiers, fit to go out for war and battle. And I want you to notice the statement, they were fit to go out for war and battle. I want to speak tonight on the subject, are you fit for the fight? Are you fit for the fight? Father, help me tonight as I bring this simple thought. Use it to encourage us concerning our spiritual life, that we might keep ourselves in spiritual shape in order that we might fight and win the battles that we must face day after day with Satan, sin, and the world. Now, Lord, I need your help. This is a good crowd on Labor Day weekend, and I sure do thank you for the faithfulness of our people, and thank you, dear God, for the visitors that are here. Now, do something in our hearts that will help us in our walk with you, in our home life, on our job. Lord, all in all, we want to get to that place where we can live victoriously as your children in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Help me to say those things that you can use to do your work in our hearts tonight. Now, Lord, I love you, and I confess to you how desperately I need you, and I thank you in advance for what you shall do. If there be someone here tonight, save them. If someone needs to join this church, help them come. If someone needs to come for baptism, let them realize there'll be no better time for them to publicly profess their faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible way, by believer's baptism. And then, Father, perhaps someone's just not fit for the fight. They need to come and get right tonight and do whatever's necessary to get their life in spiritual shape so they can make a difference for you in this world and for their family and for their marriage. Now, Lord, we need you, and we'll thank you for your presence as you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you know anything about First Chronicles, you know that the first nine chapters are chapters, genealogy chapters. We're given the genealogies from Adam and Seth to the present generation of families returning from the captivity. They were resettling the land that had been given to their fathers, and now it was to become theirs. Now, most of the genealogies that are recorded here are incomplete, but the main line of genealogy that really matters is there. Understand that the Bible is not a complete record book of all the families of Israel, but it is a record of man's sin and God's provision for his redemption. There is no break in redemption story. There is no break in the story of God planning from Adam all the way to Jesus Christ to send his son as promised and prophesied in the Bible. There's no break in the story from the Garden of Eden all the way to the new heaven and the new earth. And thank God that the Bible is completely reliable when it comes to telling redemption story. And by the way, that's the supreme purpose of the Bible, is to let us know our sinfulness and how we got this way and what our judgment is because of it and what God has provided for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, in order that we might be saved. Now, in these 9 chapters of genealogy, there's an amazing statement in the chapter 7 that we've just read. It's a statement about the descendants of one of the sons of Benjamin, Jediel. The tribe of Benjamin was the smallest of all the tribes in Israel. They numbered only 59,434 men, the Bible tells us. Now, the 3 sons of Benjamin were Bela, and his descendants, the male descendants, numbered 22,034. Becher, you can read about them in verse 8 and 9 of this chapter, 20,200. And then in verse 10 and 11, Jediel numbered 17,200, the smallest of the 3 sons of Benjamin. Notice that the sons of Jediel were soldiers. And the Bible says every one of them were fit to go out to war and battle. It's one thing to claim to be a soldier. It's altogether something else to be a soldier fit to go out to war and to battle. And may I say to you, dear friend, you don't want to go out and face the enemy if you're not fit, if you're not ready. Someone said, well, I don't know why we're losing so many of our children and our teenagers, and so many of our people are falling by the wayside and falling into sin. I'll tell you why. They're Christians not fit for the spiritual battle. They're not in spiritual shape. They're not ready to fight the fight that's raging in our country and in our land today. I remember watching a boxing match one time, and one of the fighters was sloppy fat. He was out of shape. And it didn't take the other boxer long to knock the out of shape boxer out. Ended the fight. And I'm sad to say this is too much like the Christians in our churches today. Physically and spiritually, we've grown fat and sloppy and out of shape. And we're being whipped up on by the world and by the devil's crowd. We're not fit for the fight. We're not fit for war and battle. I ask you, is there not 17,200 Christians in Bible-believing churches in the Metroplex that are fit to go out to war and to battle? Sometimes I think there's not. How come we're losing so badly our fight against sin and Satan? How come we're losing our marriages and our children, our testimonies? I'll tell you why. We're trying to live the Christian life in the devil's territory, and we're not fit for war and for battle. We forget that we are sheep in wolf country, and sheep have no defense. The wolf and the lion are destroying our lives and destroying our families while we sit by helplessly to do anything about it. And what's even worse, many are not just spiritually sloppy, spiritually out of shape. Many have even gone over and joined the side that's trying to kill us. I say again, we've grown fat in the world and sloppy in our spiritual walk. And we're out of shape in our prayer life and our devotional life. Oh, would to God that we could see people in our churches come back to God and come back to the Bible and get their hearts and lives right until God said, I have a people that are fit for the battle, fit for war and for battle. Amen. Let me ask you, Are you as a Christian fit for the battle and for war? Most Christians today don't have the character to fight a war. We don't have the character to fight the battles we have to fight. We want to quit before we win the victory. That's the reason Korea is like it is today and Vietnam is like it is today. And if we're not careful, Iraq will be that way. We're not willing. We don't have the grit. We don't have the character. We don't have the fortitude to stick with the fight until the battle's won. If we had to fight World War II today, we'd either be speaking German or Japanese. Because we don't have the character to stay with it and to pay the price. We're not fit for battle and for war as Americans. And may I say to you, the characteristic of our nation is also the characteristic I see in too many of our churches and too many of our families in our churches. We're not fit for the fight. We're not fit for battle and for war. If you came face to face with the prince of darkness today, would you have any power with God to fight him off and to resist him? Boy, that's a thought. And may I say to you, mamas and daddies, husbands and wives, teenagers, college students, every day of our life we're coming in contact with old Slewfoot. Every day he's trying to steal our children. He's trying to destroy our marriage. He's trying to cripple our testimony as individuals. Do you have enough power with God to fight him off? Or are you just devil bait? Some of my preacher friends like to go bear hunting. Now, I'm not into bear hunting. They like to hunt bear with bows and arrows. I've shot a bow. And I'm not going to put bait down there below me and me on a 10-foot platform and bears can stand on their hind legs and look you face to face. No, uh-uh. No, they can go their bear hunt. I'm not a coward. I just got better sense. I don't have any desire to do that. Now, some of these guys really get into this, and that's fine if they do. I don't want to go bear hunting. Don't care about bear hunting. But I do want to be victorious when the old devil, the roaring lion, raises his head up. I do want to be fit for that fight. And I would to God we'd put as much emphasis on getting ready to face the devil and win the battle with him as we do on going deer hunting or bear hunting or fishing or other things that we're involved in. Are you fit for the fight tonight? If Satan came to you and attacked your family, are you right with God enough to get a hold of heaven and pray down victory? Are you able to use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to defeat Satan when he attacks? Are you fit for the fight? Hey, it's not an accident they put recruits through boot camp and basic training before they send them off to the battlefield. And may I say to you, there's an enemy greater that we face every day here in America than we'll ever face on the battlefield. And that enemy is trying to destroy our families, trying to destroy our marriages, trying to steal away our children, trying to wreck our lives. And most Christians aren't fit for the fight. They're not right with God. They couldn't even get on their knees and cry out to God without having to get right about willful sin in their life before they could cry out for help concerning the emergency, the problem at hand. Are you able to use the Word of God? You know, in the armor of God, the whole armor of God, there are two offensive weapons. Two. All the rest are defensive. for our protection. But the two offensive weapons are the sword of the Spirit and prayer. Most people, when talking about the armor of God, stop before they get to prayer. They don't include it. But may I suggest to you, when I'm going to face the devil, I want not only the Bible, I want to spend a little time with God before I go out and face him. I want to be right with him when it comes to the matter of praying. Are you fit for the fight? Are you fit for the battle and for war? There's some fights and battles brewing in America and in our churches. And I just want to ask you if you're fit for the fight. Are you fit for the battle and for war? First, are you fit for the fight of prayer? Most Christians could put their prayer life in a thimble and have room enough for six other Christians' prayer lives. No wonder we're prey to the devil. Ephesians 6 talks about fighting against the devil. And he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And he concludes it with praying. Prayer. Prayer. We try to live our Christian life and we have no prayer life. Let me ask you, is prayer a battle for you? Is prayer a battle for you? Have you noticed the opposition when you try to get down to pray? The phone will ring. Cell phone will go off. People will come in. We'll get on our knees and remember something that needs to be done quickly. It's a battle just to pray. And most don't pray. The soldier of God in Ephesians 6 puts on the whole armor of God and goes out to prayer before he goes out to war. We want to fight the devil without dressing for the fight or praying for the fight. More battles are won on our knees than with our brain or with our brawn. We're overcomers through prayer. Through prayer, God's army marches on its knees. Amen. And yet we're not fit for the fight of prayer. We make excuse. You call a prayer meeting and bless God, we'd go clean out the barnyard before we'd go to prayer. All the detestable things become interesting as long as we don't have to pray. May I say to you, your physical life, your fleshly self, your carnal self is opposed to prayer. Fights against it. Why, you'd even take an offering and give in it before you'd pray. Are you fit for the fight of prayer? How long's it been since the new man in you, the new person in you after you got saved, has won a victory on your knees? How long's it been since you can mark a victory, an answer to prayer since you got saved? Are you fit for the fight of prayer? Oh, my dear friend, if we don't know how to pray, we're in a world of trouble. We've seen some major victories this year here at Trinity Baptist Church that we cannot attribute to anything except God answering prayer. And some of you were not part of that victory because you didn't pray. You didn't pray. Are you fit for the fight when... When was the last major victory won in your prayer closet? Jesus asked his disciples, could you not watch and pray with me for 1 hour? Let me ask you, are your children not worth an hour of prayer? Is your marriage not worth an hour of prayer? Are your lost loved ones not worth your spending an hour praying for their salvation? While we're busy here and there about things that really don't matter, the enemy comes in and steals our children and sows his tares among us. And I submit to you today that we need some warriors in our church who are fit for the battle and for war and help win the victory in the prayer closet. Let me ask you a very personal question. How many of you spend an hour in totality praying for your preacher in your church last week? Well, we'll just have church as normal. Not without people praying. You know, I used to have some people here in our church that I knew prayed for their preacher every day. They're in heaven now. Brother Miss Warnick's in heaven now. Brother Miss Hayward's in heaven now. Some of the others that prayed for me and let me know it on a daily basis aren't here to pray anymore. I wonder if there's anybody here feel their place. My mama used to pray for me every day. But she's in heaven now. You know, I am getting older. And the church keeps getting larger. And my schedule keeps getting heavier. And it's going to get worse before Jesus comes or before he's through with me. Is your pastor not worth spending an hour in prayer for a week? 7 days, just a few minutes a day praying for God's power, God's wisdom, God's leadership, God's protection. We've got to be fit for the fight of prayer. Fit for the battle of prayer. Secondly, are you fit for the battle of Bible study and teaching the Word of God? Are you fit for the battle of Bible study and teaching the Word of God? I'm not talking about preachers now. I'm talking about Christians teaching others. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews, chapter 5. And listen to verse number 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Wow! What power there is in this book! And God has chosen to use Christians, lay men and lay women, to teach it and to share it and to instruct others. I ask you, are you fit for the battle of Bible study and teaching the Word of God? Some in our church come but never learn. You hear but never practice. We come to church but our minds are on other things. This country of ours and our churches are experiencing a drought of people who know the Word of God and live it, and who'll be faithful to teach it to others also. I have never in my ministry felt the need for workers, bus workers, teachers, people who are willing to say, Lord, here am I, use me. Or even men who'll drive buses. Are you fit for the battle? How long have you been saved? Stop and think about it. Even our children, when they're born, By the time they're 3 and 4, they're practicing teaching on their dolls or on their doggies or their cats. You can't teach a cat much, but. How long have you been saved? You can't even teach 2 little children a Bible story. You've been saved for 5 years, 10 years. Classes in need of teachers, buses in need of workers, drivers. I'm simply asking you, are you fit for the fight of getting the Word of God out and getting people to the Word of God? There's 2 things here. We have a need for people to teach people, and we have a need for people to help get people to the place where they can be taught. Are you fit for the fight? You know, it may be the only difference between little boys and girls becoming good men and women is a faithful Sunday school teacher or a bus captain. That may be the only difference. And I believe if I was sitting in a pew in a church and I was a Christian, I'd make myself available to do something to be a part of the victory as we fight these battles and we go to war against Satan and sin and this old wicked world. Thirdly, are you fit for the fight of soul winning and witnessing? Benjamin was the smallest tribe, but they produced a Saul in the Old Testament and a Saul in the New Testament. One became a great king until he lost his kingdom by disobedience. The other became the first missionary preacher. And we're here tonight as a result of his ministry. What this tribe, little tribe, had was some people fit for the battle and for war. We're farther behind in world evangelism today than when Jesus gave the Great Commission. I'm amazed. We have the same spirit in our churches and among preachers and Christians as we have in our nation. We're giving up on the fight for prayer and the fight for the Bible and the fight for soul winning and the fight for separation. And we're giving up and giving in and turning our ministries into an entertainment program that pleases the flesh and tickles the ear. Are you fit for the fight of soul winning and witnessing? Souls are everywhere and they're lost if they've never accepted Christ. The Bible says, hell hath enlarged itself. And I tell you, when Jesus died on the cross, he died to pay the sin debt of every sinner who shall ever live. You can't go to a wrong place. You can't talk to a wrong person. And we don't have 7 or 8 different messages to choose from. Just one simple message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gospel story that Jesus came and died, was buried, and arose again with salvation for all who believe. It's not complicated, but yet we're not fit for the fight. We're not fit for the battle and for war in this matter of soul winning. Well, let me hurry on. Are you fit for the fight of standards and separation? Don't go there, preacher. That's what you wish. Are you fit for the fight of standards and separation? Well, we just don't believe in that. You believe in it when it comes to getting your paycheck. They have a standard for our finances, our money. 100 pennies make an hour. Make a dollar. 60 seconds make an hour. Or 60 minutes make an hour. I know what it is. I just... Well, I just don't believe in those standards and separation. Yeah, what if your boss said, listen, I believe 50 cents makes a dollar. You'd be opposed to that. No, 100 pennies make a dollar. You know what you're doing? You're arguing for standards in money. We believe in standards in time, in weight, in measurement. And God says, I want you to know I have some standards also for my people. There's some ways God's people ought to live and some things they ought not be involved in. And most of God's people have given in and given up when it comes to standards. Some have already cut standards and separation out of their Bible or buying Bibles that don't talk about it. Some have already excused the women wearing men's apparel. God must not have really meant that. Well, let me ask you. God being God who can do anything and has all knowledge, why didn't he just write down what he meant? He did. He did. Our problem is we're not fit for the fight and the battle. You've already given in. Some men have already excused long hair. They've cut those verses out of their Bible. It's all right for a woman to look like a man and a man to look like a woman. I went into a Sunday school class this morning. People standing at the door, and I said, hello, hon, how are you, little lady? He said, I'm not a lady, I'm a little boy. He had a ponytail like any girl. I wasn't trying to be ugly or cute. God intended for us to tell the difference if all we see is hair. But we've already cut that verse out of the Bible because we're not fit for the fight of standards and separation. Some mothers have already cut out of their Bible the verses dealing with modesty and purity and chastity when it comes to your daughters. I see little boys and girls wearing things, ears pierced, nose pierced, hairstyles that no little boy or little girl their age would ever have thought up. Where'd it come from? Mom and daddy. Mom and daddy. Many of them, if you go to them and ask them, they say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. They just given up when it comes to the Bible, teaching purity and being chaste and modest. See, God intends for some things to be covered up, not exposed. And you know, the amazing thing is that mamas and little girls seem to be embarrassed if they're dressed modestly and not embarrassed if they're exposing themselves, their thighs or the waist or down to here. I don't understand. You know why? You know why that's so today? We're not fit for the fight. We've grown spiritually sloppy and fat and out of shape. We don't know the difference from what the Bible teaches and what's popular with the world. We're not fit for the fight. Some have already excused the verses on separation and holy living. You want to be popular with the world. You want to be in step with the world instead of in step with Him. Now, I'm not preaching to unsaved people. I'm not preaching for those that are on their way to hell. I'm preaching about Christians tonight. People who say that we believe the Bible. We love God. We have been born again. We claim to be the children of God. And yet we're more like the world than many times the world is. When a Christian backslides, they'll go further into sin than many unsaved people will ever go. We're not fit for the fight. And we join the devil's side. Let me give one last thing. It's pretty heavy and I don't want to stay long. Are you fit for the battle of winning your family to the Lord's service? Winning your family to the Lord's service. You know, I don't want my family just to come to church. I want them to serve God. I want them to live for God. I want them to love God. I want them to witness for God. To live for the Lord Jesus. And until we get back and just get beyond settling to get them to come to church every now and then. Realize that we have a responsibility to get them in and grown and serving. That ought to be our desire. And until we come to that place, we're not fit for the fight. You know, revival must begin in our homes with our own family. If you don't have enough in you to lead your Christian family to a closer walk with God, something's terribly wrong with you. Just the influence of a Christian on fire for God will warm up the entire house. You get a fire going, it warms up everybody around it. And one Christian on fire for God will warm up his entire family. Have you given up on this battlefield? Have you given up on trying to win your loved ones to the Lord, trying to get your family in church and in service? Oh, my soul, if you give up, is there anyone else that loves them and cares as much as you do? If you give up on your children, if you give up on your family, if you give up on your husband and wife, who else is going to love them and care about them as you should? We can't give up. God, help us to get right and get in step with Jesus and get ourselves to the place where we're fit for battle and for war. I ask you, is your children not worth you getting right with God so you'll have a right influence on them? Is your children not worth your getting your prayer life right and your devotional life right so you'll have influence on them? May I say to you, you can give them more on your knees than you can with extra money you earn. I'm not so sure that prosperity, affluence, has been one of the greater enemies of Christian living and our churches today. We can go everywhere whenever we want to because we got enough money to do so. When I was a boy growing up, you didn't have money to go anywhere. Church was the big event. We got to go to church. Are you going to give your family over to Satan without a fight? I ask you, are you? How about your grandkids? This grandpa needs to tell you, your prayers don't stop when your children get grown. Your burden doesn't leave when they have children. Mrs. Smith and I are as burdened for our grandchildren as we are our children, as we were our children. Pray and pray and pray for God to make a difference in their heart and in their life. And I want to keep right so my prayers have purpose and have meaning. I want to stay fit for the fight so that when I cry out to God, it reaches His throne. Now I ask you tonight, are you fit for the fight? It may be in order to get fit, some of you need to kneel at an altar and confess personal sin in your life. You need to acknowledge its sin in the sight of God and ask Him to forgive you and leave it at His feet. Some tonight need to come and say, God, I've not been obeying the Word, yet I say I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I need to get right about my relationship and the teachings of the Word of God. Some need to come and say, I haven't been faithful in my prayer life. If the future of my marriage and my children depended on me praying for them, they're goners. They're lost. I need to get right about my Bible study and my prayer life. I don't know how to lead my family according to the Bible because I'm spending too much time in my pleasures than I am His Word or on my knee. Now, I'm not saying to you, you've got to spend 20 out of the 24 hours a day in the Bible and on your knees. But my soul, set a time and spend some time with God every day. Some time in the Bible. Some time on your knees. You're never going to be fit for the fight if you don't have a right relationship with Him. I ask you one more time and I'm through. Are you fit for the fight? Are you fit to go out for war and battle? Now, I'm not 17,200 people. And I'm not trying to be. But I can be one of them. I can be one of them. I may not make a difference in a nation, but bless God, I can make a difference in my home. I can make a difference for my children, for my wife. And every man in here ought to dedicate himself to that task. Every wife in here ought to dedicate herself to that task. Are you fit for the fight? It's a spiritual battle that's raging. It's not fought with smart bombs and stealth bombers. It's not fought with guided missiles. It's a spiritual warfare. And if we're going to win the victory against Satan and sin and his attack on our families, our churches, and our nation, and we're going to have to get in shape spiritually. We're going to have to get to the place where we're fit for the fight. We're fit for battle and for war. Father in heaven, I've tried to sound a warning tonight to challenge and encourage and help our people to realize that we really are in a warfare. This isn't fun and games. We're facing a time when our family is at stake. Our future's at stake. God forbid if I lose my family as a Christian because of my carnality and my worldliness. Because I have no power to fight against Satan and his tactics. God forbid that I lose the battle because I'm not dressed in the armor of God and I don't know how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Help us to get concerned about our life, our walk, our relationships, our habits, those things we put in front of Jesus Christ, those things that have become more important to us than the will of God. Lord, while we're here and conscious of the need, may the Holy Spirit of God renew His voice in our hearts. And some might hear Your call to teach and to the bus ministry. And some men might say, Lord, I can drive a bus and I'll get my license. Oh God, You know our needs. Raise up people who are fit for the fight the spiritual warfare that we're battling today. Thank you for those who are and those who work at staying in spiritual shape. Bless them and add to their number a new regiment of spiritual soldiers that are dedicated to your cause, fit for the fight that's before us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are